cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
You come in glory, you shield my way, your hand upholds me. I know you now.
I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. And you have overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? The veil made a way when you said that it is done. You tore the veil, you made a way when you said that it is done. You tore the veil, you made a way when you said that it is done.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, going to give you the opportunity to greet each other, shake hands, and there'll be an usher at the back of the offering plate if you'd like to worship with your wallet. And so good to see some we haven't seen in a while. So good to see Sister Chris back from illness. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Others, and so why don't you take opportunity to greet each other as we sing. Repeating, I love the line, it's an overflow of a forgiven soul. my praise, my worship. I hope my admiration is displayed in my praise and the acclamation that I give unto Him. He's worthy. He's worthy of it, and I'm grateful to give it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to make you aware of a few things coming up by way of announcement. If you have not yet turned in your Easter candy, we would implore you to do so tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here in the church. If you are interested in helping put the Easter candy in the Easter eggs, we will accept all the help that we can get. And so tomorrow at 6 o'clock, if you would come and help put the candy into the Easter eggs, that would be wonderful. And then remember, this Sunday is Easter. And so we always have a good crowd here in the house of the Lord on Easter. There are some CEOs that are going to be here, I assure you. That is Christmas and Easter only. Sorry, bad joke. Anyhow, we're looking forward to have any and all here in the house of the Lord. And we're hoping that as a result of some coming on those special days, that maybe, just maybe, they'd be convinced that they need to come more often than that. And so that is the hope. And so remember, we will not have two sessions this coming Sunday. It will be one extended session, much like we did before we changed the format. So we will not have a Sunday school lesson, most of the ages, unless they're the Sunday school classes will still be in Sunday school. They'll have a kind of a program, a little skit that they're going to do during the service on Sunday morning. But as far as the service here, it's going to be like a regular evangelistic service from beginning to end. With those things in between. So just want to remind you of that, let you know that it's happening again. There is no PM activity here at the church on Sunday. There's no Revival by Design. That will be the following Sunday on the 23rd. Please do remember, if you were here Sunday night, and I want to say thank you very much to all those. What a great showing we had here on Sunday night. Those to be involved in a part of Revival by Design. If you have not filled out whether you want the printed material, whether you want the email material or media, some of you I know have done both, and that's fine. A lot of couples, one has done the printed material and one has done the electronic material, if you will. That way, if one, you know, forgets, the other still has it, vice versa. So that's good. That's teamwork. You know, they say teamwork makes a dream work. So that's good. And then also the sign-up sheet for the snacks. Again, we will have the way that the session will run, or the sessions, I should say, 35 to 40-minute session to begin with, and then we're going to have a 15-minute break in between. We have a sign-up sheet for snacks, finger foods. We're not putting meals together, just light refreshments, just to interact and fellowship, and then another 35 to 40-minute session following that. So about an hour and a half of your time on Sunday nights. As it works out with the other things, Mother's Day, all those, you know, fun events we're having, Memorial Day weekend. It's going to work out for the next 3 months to be about two Sunday nights a month. And thank you, Brother Mike. That's fine. You can set it right there. God bless you for that, brother. And it's kind of funny. I always take a drink at like the beginning, and then I forget that it's there, and then at the end I'm parched. But anyhow, lost my complete train of thought. But Revival by Design, Sunday nights, and again, we encourage you to come be a part of that. So a week from this Sunday night, 23rd, we will pick back up. We will have material there for you, whether it be printed or sent via email. Again, if you have not signed up for church software, the Breeze, to be upon our church software, church management software, please do so. And if you're having trouble, there is a cheat sheet back on the bulletin board that you can look that will help you do that. Gives you the address of the church's management software via Breeze. If you're having trouble signing on, please let one of us know. We can help you do that. And the more you're able to access that, the more you'll be able to know what's going on, when it's happening, details concerning events. We're trying to update all that. It is, as I stated, it is the primary source of information for the church. We will still do occasion prayer requests, that sort of stuff, on a Facebook page. So that won't stop. But thankfully, Brother Kellum has taken over that and integrated. And some of you, if you have received those notifications, you're receiving notifications about Sunday morning lessons, Wednesday night Bible studies. And so it's getting the word out. And so, Brother Kellum, I want to publicly again thank you for taking the time to do that. And that's, I believe it's a wonderful asset to the church to continue to have the word out there in that manner. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. And why don't you slip up your hand if you have a need that you would like the church to be aware of, Sister Christy? Yes. Yeah, so if you'd be willing to help out, please see Sister Christy and let her know what you'd be willing and able to do. That way we can, in a hospitable manner, reach out for that situation. Certainly, certainly. Also remember him in prayer, certainly. Someone else? Sister D, sorry. All right, all right. Just count. All right, all right. I think I saw another sister. Sue Ann. All right, all right. Certainly, I see another hand somewhere by the mic. All right, all right. Certainly, certainly. See your hand, Brother Greg. Certainly. All right. Certainly. What's her name again? Did you say Haley or Kaylee? Kaylee. All right. Let's remember Kaylee in prayer. Certainly. Sister Chris. Awesome. All right. Okay. There you go. Very good. Very good. Sterling. Yes. Certainly. Certainly have some going from this local assembly. My family's going to try to make it down. So certainly travel and mercies in for a while they're there to be blessed. So certainly. Why don't you stand? All right. All right. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you. Lord, you know the every detail of every need represented in this place, God. By faith, God, we call out, God. We bring these needs, these names before you in prayer, God, making our petition and request known. We thank you, God. We love you, God. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, God, whether it be a job situation, God, whether it be health, God, battling a terminal illness, God. Lord, we know that you're able to heal, to raise up, to strengthen. Lord, and I pray for those in the assembly, God, who have contact with these individuals, Lord, that they would be a witness in word and deed, God, that they would speak words of encouragement, God, stretch forth their hands to heal, God. Lord, to believe and trust in your power to work through them, God, as a vessel of your choosing, God, to minister the needs of those around about us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your truth, God. We lift you up, God, we praise you, God, because you are worthy to be praised, God. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness, God. Touch and minister in a mighty way, God. In Jesus' precious name, in Jesus' name we ask and believe it to be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We trust in you, Lord. We trust in you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study tonight, entitled Boundaries. I'm going to take my obligatory drink at the beginning. Hopefully, at some point in time throughout. Again, I'm not really sure about how long this is going to go. I sent Brother Kellum a message. He asked me if we were continuing tonight. I said, yeah, probably at least three more weeks. So it's a very an in-depth, yes. All right. All right. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, how we thank you that we can come to you. Oh, we know, God, that you have an ability, God, Lord, to touch the heart, God, Lord, to use conviction, God, and Lord, whatever means necessary to turn a heart to you, God, that they would consider their ways, God. They would look to you for strength and help, God. Lord, we know you've begun a good work, and we're believing you're able, God. Complete it, God. Perform in his heart and his life, God. And help us as a church, as a family, as a body of believers to support, God, Bruce, Michelle, God, as they launch out together, God. Lord, we believe and trust in your power, God. And help us to reach out, God, to do our best, God. To connect, God. To attach, Lord. To bring them, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your truth, God. Jesus, in your precious name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about boundaries. Last week, we talked about some of those issues, the issue types, if you will, of boundaries, why we have some boundary issues. And anybody, a little pop quiz, anybody remember the three types we talked about last week? You don't have to be in order, in any order. Anybody remember any of the three types? Is Holly? Controllers, yes. We talked about aggressive controllers, manipulative controllers. Talked about two different types of controllers. That was one of them. Very good. Anybody else? Yeah. Compliant. There we go. Those that were compliance. What did compliance do? They said yes when they should have said no. They said yes to the bad. And then we had, what was the final one? Did that jog anybody's memory as to what the final one was? We had compliance, controllers. Says Holly. Avoidance. Avoidance. And they did what? They said no to the what? They said no to the good. They said no when they should have said yes. And we used a scripture when Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And we talked about really saying yes and meaning yes and really saying no and meaning no and not saying yes while we feel or mean to say no and vice versa. So we talked about some of the reasons why we have issues with boundaries. And some of us, if you're like me, we found ourselves in some, if not all, of those categories at points and times. depending on the situation, the other party involved. Sometimes we may be compliant in reference to another party. We can't tell them no, but we can easily tell someone else no, that individual who's trying to help us. So we may be compliant over here and avoid it over here. And then other times we may be manipulative when we're trying to be get others to be compliant. And so we talked about all that. And so, but we talked about what was the, again, we're just quizzing a little bit. What was the main motivating factor in all three of those issue types? Anybody remember that? Remember what the main motivating factor was? Fear. Very good. Did you cheat? Did Sister Holly help you? Okay. Fear was the main motivating factor. It was the compliant was fear of losing the respect of someone else and feeling unloved, if you will. And then the avoidant was fear of letting people in and being vulnerable. And then the controller was the fear of being by themselves because they couldn't do it on their own. And then we talked about the one thing that helped all of those issues, and that was love. Love. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight, but I don't have a focus verse to begin with because there's quite a few scriptures throughout the slideshow tonight and what we're talking about, but I want to talk about boundary guidelines. We realize we have some issues where boundaries are concerned. We realize that sometimes we are compliant when we shouldn't be, and sometimes we are avoidant when we shouldn't be, and sometimes we seek to control the situation for fear of being alone. And so we understand that we have some boundary issues. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We recognize we got some boundary issues. So what are some good guidelines that will help us in making good boundaries? What are some things that we can look at scripturally that are going to help us establish some good boundaries to help us not put a wall where we should put a gate and not put a gate where we should put a wall? And in a good biblical sense, establish and place good boundaries in our lives. So we want to talk about some boundary guidelines, and we're gonna do it in three different sections, if you will. We're going to talk about laws of activity, some laws of activity, action where it concerns our boundaries, when and where to take action, where not to take action, some laws of activity concerning our establishing boundaries, our placing some proper boundaries in our lives. We're going to talk about sowing and reaping. We touched on this a little bit throughout. We're going to talk about the law of sowing and reaping. And how we, that can be both a very good thing and it can also be a very bad thing. And how that we need to understand that there is a law of sowing and reaping, and that is a law of activity when it comes to properly placing some boundaries, some guidelines. And then we're going to talk about proactive versus reactive. The differences of being reactive and how that when we try to set boundaries as in a reactive manner, many times we misplace the boundary because it's out of reaction to a situation or a circumstance, rather than proactive, and we'll get into that in a little bit. And then we're going to talk about some markers. What are some lines of distinction, if you will? Well, we're going to talk about evaluation. How do we evaluate? And maybe the way we see things sometimes is not really the way it should be seen. So what are some markers? Evaluation, motive. What is our motivation for putting a marker, for placing a boundary? What are some guidelines where it comes to the markers we should set in relation to our motivation? And then some borders. And talk about borders. Talk about respect. Respect, not only self-respect in some sense and being able to say no to the bad, but also we're gonna talk about respect to others and their freedom to set their boundaries. And how we have to respect those boundaries. Even though they may not be the boundaries that we would set, we still have to respect their boundaries because they have the freedom of choice. And then we're going to talk about limitations. We all have limitations. We're going to talk about how that those limitations, if we will recognize them and we will understand that we have them, then we can learn to look to others and through God and through God's use of other people, help us set proper boundaries. So let's get into the study. Let's talk about some laws of activity. Let's talk about reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping. How many of you have ever heard of the law of sowing and reaping, or reaping and sowing? Yeah? Heard of that? How many of you have heard it many times in a negative sense? Well, you're going to reap what you sow. Yeah? the connotation for the most part, many times, is negative. You're going to reap what you sow. But we need to understand that there's also a positive. There's two sides to every coin, and yes, where it can be negative, and if you, as the Bible says here in the verse of Scripture, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the Scripture gives us both sides. The Scripture just doesn't say, well, he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption and leave it. The Scripture goes on to say, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there's two sides to the coin. The law of sowing and reaping works both ways. But there's something we need to understand about this law of sowing and reaping. When good boundaries are sown, the benefit of those good boundaries is reaped. That's a positive. When I do set good boundaries, when I do, through the help of God and through teaching and understanding, instruction and righteousness, when I do set good boundaries, not boundaries out of tradition, not boundaries because that's the way I feel about it, not boundaries because that's my opinion, but boundaries that are good, solid, biblical boundaries, including the principles and precepts of God, then I reap good. Not only do I reap good, but others reap of that goodness. And then the other side, when there is a lack of boundaries or misplaced boundaries, the harm of such is reaped. Not only does it harm me, but it can harm other people. When I don't set good boundaries and I don't place good boundaries, or I misplace the boundary, or I have no boundary where a boundary should be, not only can I be hurt or can be harmed, if you will, but I may harm others because I haven't properly placed the boundary. I'm harmed and they're harmed. In some cases, the harm or benefit is interrupted or displaced, but the law is still in operation. Probably the best way that I could illustrate that is it, Brother Greg, come and help me. How many of you ever heard of the law of gravity? Yeah? Heard of the law of gravity? The law of gravity says that if I knock this water bottle off the table, what is it going to do? Wow, he didn't even know. He did a reaction. Now, because it didn't hit the ground, does that mean the law of gravity doesn't exist? You can be seated. Thank you. What happened? He interrupted the law of gravity, did he not? Now, if that water bottle was of substantial weight, even though he caught it, guess what would still be happening? There would still be forces of gravity. If he then let it go, it wouldn't hop back up on the pulpit, would it? No. What would it do? It would continue on its course and fall the ground. Why? Because the law of gravity is still in effect. He might have interrupted the law of gravity. He might have momentarily stopped it. But I dare say if it was of substantial weight and he stood there for a long time, he would start, even though it was a water bottle, he'd start feeling the strain of that at that location. Don't believe me? Just stand there with your hands up for a while. See if the law of gravity doesn't start to have its effect upon you. It will. And here's the thing we need to understand about the law of reaping and sowing. Though we may interrupt it, or sometimes even displace it, here's the thing. Sometimes individuals who get involved in the law of reaping and sowing where other people are concerned, such and such is sowing a bad thing, if you will. They're doing something bad. The behavior is bad. They're sowing to the flesh. Catch this. Even though, and I say, well, you know, I need to get involved in that situation, and I need to help them. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. That's where you got to decipher. You got to evaluate. You and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Well, I've got. Is this an area where I say no? I don't help in this situation, because if I helped, I could be interrupting the law of reaping and sowing. The law's still going to be in effect. It's still going to happen. I'm just putting it off, maybe. I'm just complicating the issue. I'm just causing it, guess what, to snowball, if you will. Or, here's also the other case. Sometimes, I then, because I get involved with that law of reaping and sowing, I'm the one who starts sowing. Talk about the parent who continually helps a child out financially, who continues to make bad financial decisions, and they continue to bail them out and continue to bail them out, and they're interrupting that law of reaping and sowing. But not only are they interrupting it, they're sowing, if you will, or they're reaping themselves what others have sown. And now they're having financial issues. And now they're having bill collectors call them. Why? Because they tried to help someone else out when in reality they should have said no. Let the law of reaping and sowing go into effect. I know this is somewhat absurd, but as a child who is at some point declaring his independence, and it's somewhat funny and comical when the child looks down at the plate of peas and doesn't want it, and so it grabs it and it throws it and it mashes it all over the place, and the mother, you know, maybe a little pat on the hand, or no, you don't do that, and there's some level of acceptance where a child is concerned, right? It makes sense. But if I go down to my mom's house and I'm about to be 40 years of age and I decide I don't want the peas that she has put on my plate, and I decide I'm going to throw them around the kitchen or mash them all over the table, we would think it was absolutely absurd if my mother got up and said, "Oh, honey, don't do that. I forgot you didn't like peas." And she took out the rag and started wiping up. And I'm just throwing peas around the kitchen because I don't like peas. We would say that is absolutely absurd. What parent in their right mind would let their adult child act like that? Now, I know we're taking it to the absurd, but can we not see the relevancy in that understanding? That sometimes individuals get involved where they shouldn't get involved. And what my mom should do in that situation is, boy, if you can't respect my house enough to, you can clean it up yourself. Why? You saw bad behavior. You decided to smash peas all over the place. Well, clean it up. Take your responsibility. And when we do not allow that law of reaping and sowing to take place in the heart of individual, we are not helping them. We are harming them. We are not allowing that law to be applied as it should. And in some cases, we're taking the application of the law upon ourselves. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man has sown, he will reap. But understand this. Take the other side of that coin as well. There are some times when individuals sow good, and they sow good, and they sow good, and they sow. But sometimes it's generations down the line before the real benefit of that good is reaped. There's sometimes when an individual, though they themselves have worked hard and they put in the effort, and they maybe in the sense of business or a secular business where an individual has really put in the effort, and they have sown into that in blood, sweat, and tears. And now they're able to pass on to their son or their grandson a growing, thriving business. And now that individual is really reaping the benefit. It's happened even in churches where I know of cases where fathers have really poured into the church and invested in the church. And I'm not saying that the son that comes after it is not worthy or no, but what they need to understand is that there's that law of reaping and sowing is in effect. And now they're sowing some, or they're reaping, if you will, some of what their father has sown throughout years of ministry. There's that law, and it works for good as well. So I need to understand that and some guidelines concerning borders. How is this going to affect not only me but others? Is it going to have a positive effect? Is what is going to be reaped in this situation, is it going to be good? Law of reaping and sowing. What about proactive versus reactive? People often set boundaries on a reactionary basis and in doing so misplace the boundary. I'm going to say it again. People often set boundaries on a reactionary basis. They react. And as they react, they misplace the boundary. What do you mean? They get pushed too far, accept too much, and reaction misplace a boundary that could potentially harm them and others going forward. Well, I just took it for so long, and I just accepted too much. And then all of a sudden, I just carte blanche. No more. No more to anybody at any time for any reason. I'm done. exhaust it all. And then there is somebody with a legitimate need. There is somebody who, excuse me, does need help. But I've set that boundary. Nope. No more. Nobody for any reason at any time. And because I have set a boundary on a reactionary basis, it's based upon the circumstances or situation or the individual involved. Now guess what? I can't be fair. And I can't be unbiased in that boundary because I've set it based upon a reaction. I've set it based upon what happened or the situation or the fact that this individual pushed me too far or this circumstance was just too much. So in reaction to that, I now set the boundary. But then I can't really help others because I've just, you know, that switch has been flipped. Careful. Because if I'm setting boundaries based upon my reaction to a situation, it most likely is going to be a misplaced boundary. And granted, I'll give you this. Sometimes reactionary boundaries are better than no boundary at all. I will say that. But it's really not to the extent, and it's not really in the proper place. It may be good that it caused a boundary. It may be that the spouse finally gets fed up and says, I'm not taking any more. I'm done. It's over. And maybe that reaction needed to take place because it was only when the consequences happened that the other party realized, wait a second, she's not taking anymore. And maybe, just maybe, that boundary needed to happen. But guess what? If it's a reactionary boundary based upon the situation, she's going to have trouble trusting another individual. Catch it. Because the boundary was set based upon reaction to a situation. Proactive boundary placement is done without the pressure and emotions of the circumstance and with more objectivity. If I proactively place boundaries, I with the understanding and instruction and understand that this is a proper boundary and it's in its proper place, then it's not based upon who, it's not based upon what, it's not based upon circumstances, it's not based upon any pressure. Because here's the thing, when it's a reactionary boundary, when the pressure's gone or the circumstances no longer exist, oftentimes the boundary gets pulled altogether. Think about it. Often I go back and I put that wall there, but now the circumstance is gone. Now the pressure's not there anymore. And so what do? I tear the wall down. And I make myself susceptible again. You see how reactionary boundaries are not properly placed. When if I do it proactively, where the boundary is there, regardless of who it is, or regardless of what it is, or regardless of the situation, it's a properly placed boundary. And I know that because I objectively placed it. I didn't place it upon the emotions. I didn't place it as a result of the pressure. I placed it prior to the pressure. And so when they came to the boundary, it was a boundary that was already in place. And I didn't have to wonder if that boundary was set because of the circumstances. I knew beforehand. I was proactive in placing that boundary. It was there. Make sense? Being reactive is often in accordance with stages, while being proactive is in accordance with an identity. These are my boundaries. This is who I am. I tell you, one of the ways that we, even nowadays, you've probably heard it said, maybe in teaching young people, we tell them, you know, the easiest way to say no to a compromising situation is to never place yourself in a compromising situation. Think about that. It's a proactive boundary. I don't wait until I'm in the back seat to say no. I don't ever get in the back seat. It's a proactive boundary. And that's how I assess. That's a good boundary. It's a proactive boundary. It's not based upon how good looking he is or how good looking she is or how willing they are. It's based upon this is a proper boundary. Regardless of who it is. Well, we were just friends. Yeah. That's how a lot of it starts. But I didn't properly place boundaries. And I was doing it reactionary. And I realized, wait a second, that boundary was misplaced. And it harmed me, harmed them, harmed the situation. Okay? Make sense? Difference between, it's laws of activity, difference between a proactive placement and a reactive placement. Yes, a reactive placement is better than no boundary at all. But the optimal way is to proactively place the boundary. Let's talk about some markers. Evaluation. How do we evaluate? And here's the thing. We cannot evaluate based upon feeling. Evaluating based upon feeling will mess us up. The reason why. Proverbs 27:5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now see, in our evaluation often, we think, well, that doesn't make sense. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. An open rebuke is better than secret love. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Wait a second. If we believe that the Bible is true and the book of Proverbs is a book of wise sayings, well, that's a wise saying. Well, what makes it so wise that faithful are the wounds of a friend? Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Hurt and harm are different. Say it with me. Hurt and harm are different. Things can hurt and not harm, while things that do not hurt can harm. I'm going to read that again. Hurt and harm are different. Things that can hurt, things can hurt and not harm, while things that do not hurt can harm. I'll give you an example. A dentist will hurt you while drilling the cavity. But does it harm you? No. It helps you. It's getting rid of the cavity. I know it's a very basic example. However, eating the sugary stuff and skipping the preventative maintenance didn't hurt us. Think about it. It didn't hurt eating that pie. That felt good, actually. It felt good going down. It was good. It didn't hurt that I didn't stop by the sink on the way to bed at night and brush my teeth and floss. Matter of fact, it's sometimes when I floss, it hurts. See? Understand the principle? But does it harm me? It helps me. However, that stuff that felt good, that didn't hurt, what happened? It did harm us. That's the reason why I got the cavity. Because I like the sugary stuff, and I didn't brush and floss as I should. So understand that in evaluating markers, especially where it comes in play to other people. There are some times when you say, well, I'm not going to do that because it may hurt them. Well, evaluate, because sometimes hurt is good. Will it harm them is really what I need to ask myself. Because sometimes hurting them is very helpful. Well, you hurt my feelings. I'm okay with hurting your feelings as long as it didn't harm you. But if I hurt your feelings and it helped you, think about it. If I hurt your feelings but it helped you, as the Bible says, and we'll look at it a little later, you can speak the truth in love. If the motivation, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, is love. I love you enough that the individual loves the other individual enough to set that boundary and say, no. Well, that hurt my feelings. I know. But I'm trying to help you. You need to understand the motive. The Lord chastens those that he loves. In other words, how many ever been spanked by God in a spiritual sense? Did it hurt at the time? Yeah, when I had to deal with that and go through that, it hurt. But did it harm me? Mm-mm. It helped me. It helped me realize some things I didn't see before. It helped me to understand the difference between hurt and harm. And now that I look back and I evaluate, I'm better because of it. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it was painful at the time. But as a result, let me tell you this. What good instructor, even in the sense of self-defense, or let's even take it back to swashbuckling days, what good instructor would think himself a success if he never inflicted hurt or pain
on his pupil. But how many of them helped their pupil become a better fighter or a better swordsman by inflicting some wounds? Wow! You realize you were open there. You realize I got that cut in there on you because you weren't properly defended. And though it hurt you, it helped you because you recognize there's an area that I wasn't properly defending. You get the understanding? And to properly do that and understand and evaluate that even though it hurts them, it might help them. If it doesn't harm them. And you see, that's where the evaluation comes in. To actually make that evaluation. Just because it's painful doesn't mean it is not positive. Sometimes, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Sometimes the most helpful word we can say is simply no. No. That's a boundary. No. Well, that hurt me. I'm sorry. But you, one of these days you'll understand it helps you. One of these days you'll understand it wasn't to harm you, it was to help you. And even though it hurt, it was needful. It needed to happen. Number two, in case you're counting. Motivation. What's the motivation? Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Is the boundary born of love? That's the true question. Is the boundary born of love? Is the motivating factor love? Am I truly doing this because I love? Because I love them. Am I doing this because I love them? Am I speaking the truth in love? Well, we all want to speak the truth. Well, let me tell you how it is. Well, okay, as long as that's done in love. As long as you're speaking the truth, and as long as the motivation is not to make yourself look better or to find some satisfaction in your incrimination or your condescension, if the true motivating factor is love, by all means. I've told many people, I'll continue to tell, hey, I'm open to criticism. Help me. Love me enough to tell me like it is. Love me enough to lay it out there. Why? Because I realize though it may hurt, and though what you may say, anybody can take a compliment. But it's the true person who wants to grow. The one who understands. The Bible says a wise man accepts a rebuke. Why? Because he understands that corrective criticism, that speaking the truth in love. I understand that motivation is love. That individual cares. That individual wants what's best for me. So they're not willing, and they don't want to sugarcoat it. They want to tell me like it is. They want to say, hey, this is the real world. This is the responsibility and accountability that comes along with this privilege and this position. And that's the thing we fail many times, especially in our generation, is we give them power and we give them authority and we give them position and we give them all these different things without the responsibility and the accountability that goes with it. We got to use love as the motivating factor. Is the gate or wall placed here in accordance with love, even though pain may result? Is the motivating factor love? Because if it is, I'm willing to hurt you if it helps you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm willing. I'm probably going to preach it sometime. It's in the sermon garden. Would you prefer wounds or kisses? Because the evaluation has got to be the understanding. Is it love? Is the motivation love? Because even though it hurts, it might be helpful. Love is the purest motive in all the world and facilitate proper boundary placement. That's why we said that's how we combat the fear of the boundary issue types. It's in love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Love is the purest motive in all the world. And if love is truly the motivation of the boundary placement, it's proper.
What about borders? Ooh, I got to fly through this.
Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you do that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. My freedom ends where your freedom begins, and vice versa. I have respect for you and your choices. I may not agree with your choices, but I respect the fact that you have the free will to make those choices. I respect the fact that you can say no. And in that respect, I should expect the same from you. That when I say no, you respect it. Do unto others as you'd have done unto you. Is respect a part of it? Do I respect it? I may not agree with it, but I can respect it. Whoa. We respect the freedom of others in placing their boundaries and should expect the same in placement of ours. If I respect your ability to say no to me, then I should be able to say no to you. Why? Because that's a freedom of choice. And you should respect that boundary. You may not agree with it, but you should respect the boundary. Limitations. 2 Corinthians 2:29. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We all have limits. And sometimes those limitations keep us from placing proper boundaries. Why? Because we truly don't have the power to place it where it needs to be placed. Think about that. We're not strong in that area, and we don't have the power to place that boundary where it needs to be placed. First of all, accept the limitations of our ability. Accept the fact that I can't place them properly all the time. That's why I need help. That's why I need instruction. That's why I need others to help me. Place proper boundaries. Our weaknesses are made perfect through God's strength, and often that strength comes from the assistance of others. Think about that. A lot of times we think it's just this intangible thing that comes from God, and now we have this strength. And yes, we build ourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost, and yes, there's power of Christ in us, and yes, we'll talk about that. But that also comes from other people being able to instruct us and to help us, and I'll show you why we know that. Most gladly, therefore, I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I glory in my infirmities, the Apostle Paul said. I got weaknesses. I got limitations. Those things that I want to do and the good that I would, I find myself not doing. And the evil that I would not, I find myself doing. I have limitations. But guess what? I'll glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That through his help and through other people at his guidance, I am helped. I am made better. You find the Apostle Paul addressing the other churches, the weakness that I had. You didn't look upon me, you didn't look down upon me, but you received me as an angel of Christ. You accept that I have limitations because you know you have limitations. We all have limitations. Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. We all have limitations. Proper boundary placement will need the power of Christ. One cannot place boundaries where they need to be without the strength that comes through God and his people. That's why we need the church. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to come. Why? Because we get instruction in righteousness. We get help. We get understanding of how to properly place boundaries, and it's done in love in such a way that helps us and leads us and guides us to evaluate it. Even though it may hurt us, it's going to help us. Why we say things like, preach it to a straight preacher. Why? Because I know, even though it may step on my toes, maybe my toes need stepped on. Ephesians 4:11, I'm closing, you can stand. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I need you. You need me, because I have limitations and you have limitations. We have weaknesses. We don't always place the boundaries where they need to be placed, and I need help. I need men and women of God in my life helping me to properly place the boundaries. Because where I may be really strong over here and I can help someone who's weak in this area, I'm really weak in this area and I need someone who's strong in this area to help me. So I can help them put proper boundaries where they need to be placed, and they can help me put proper boundaries where they need to be placed. Make sense?
The slide you've all been looking for. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your instruction and right. We thank you that your word leads and guides us, gives us direction, Lord. I know we all recognize our limitations, our inability many times to place boundaries where they need to be placed, God. And we need our brothers and sisters. We need instruction. We need pastors and teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. We need individuals in our lives, God, that will mentor us and help us, God. And we need, God, to accept the help of others, Lord, and give help to others who need it. Get together, God. We would come in the unity of the faith and the bond of peace, God, of the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.